Hi there, everybody, and welcome to the very first episode of the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn. Joining me is the equally talented Kyle Krause. Say hello to everybody, Krause.
Hello, everybody, Krause.
Already starting off with a classic joke.
Oh, we are so clever. It's going to be an amazing show, this one we have created.
I think we now have negative listeners. Anyway.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
What have you been up to, good sir?
I have been up to a whole lot of nothing. Just kidding. That's not entirely true.
Riveting banter.
Of course. You know, I've been, working my ass off with a real world job. That's kind of how it goes. But that's not very interesting. But what is interesting is that I picked up Super Mario Maker last week.
How are you enjoying that?
And that is a very enjoyable game, yes. Very, very enjoyable. Basically, it's classic 2D Mario levels that you create. You customize your own levels, create your own boss encounters and everything like that. So it's definitely a very creative game. I'm not typically, lately anyway, a very creative person. So,
Did you see the Mario Maker stage for Smash Brothers?
Actually, you know what? I just saw that right before we went live here. I just looked at it and was like, "Wow, that's cool." That's a really good idea.
I greatly enjoy the hand coming in and redrawing parts of the stage that have been destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that was really, really clever. So, but yeah, it's a really fun game. I do like all of the little Mario Paint references splashed around throughout the game. So, I thought that was pretty cute. And even the fly swatting minigame is back, which is kind of fun.
I've heard people talking about that, and I never played Mario Paint. I was a Genesis kid.
Right.
So what is the fly swatting game?
It was basically like, you clicked a coffee cup to start it, so it was like a break game to, like, you'd be creating, creating your art or music or animation or whatever else you were doing in Mario Paint at the time. And you could take a break to play this little mini game where basically it was your mouse cursor would be a hand with a fly swatter, and these flies and bugs and everything would fly in off the screen. You'd have like wasps and everything that would fly in from off the screen, and you would have to smack them before they got you.
So it's a flash game before there was flash.
It has that Nintendo charm. It's got some good music, so I'm always up for some Kazumi Totaka composed goodness. So,
speaking of Nintendo charm and wonderful music, coming out on the 21st, I believe you told me, is the Splatoon soundtrack.
Correct. Yes, music's kind of my thing. Video game music, kinda especially. So, yes.
But with the radio shows devoted to it and whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I guess I do have those. But yeah, the Splatoon soundtrack is finally dropping on October 21st. Unfortunately, it is going to be Japanese exclusive, but
because everything is Japanese exclusive.
Well, yeah. I mean, Nintendo soundtrack. If it's a Nintendo soundtrack, it almost certainly is. It's very rare that they come out here. But Luckily, importing music CDs is extremely easy. More often than not, they will show up on regular Amazon, like Amazon.com. You don't have to go to anywhere special. So I'm sure it will show up there at some point. Or there might be a digital release as well, which would be pretty cool. But that's also kind of a rarity over here. Sega does a lot of digital releases worldwide, but Nintendo has yet to get on that bandwagon, I believe. So
it's been a long time since I hunted down a video game soundtrack, and back then, you know, the importing fees were just beyond ridiculous, and if that was even if you could find a vendor. So I take it things have changed since I last went CD shopping.
A little bit. You are still going to pay a little bit of a markup just because of the nature of importing, but it is definitely not nearly as bad as it used to be. I know for, like, Amiibo, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later.
Amiibo!
Yes. Importing those is fairly cheap. With the exchange rate, I've spent about like $20 plus shipping, getting some of them over here. So it's not too bad. It's better than paying the scalpers $50 for them.
Yeah.
Yes, that is an issue. Not as much of an issue right now anymore, at least, but yes.
I mean, I tried to get on the bandwagon right at the beginning thinking, oh, well, it's Nintendo and everyone says, oh, it's only for, you know, children and man-children. So it won't be that difficult to find stuff, right? And then, you know, things went absolutely insane, and I got burned out really fast going, I do not want to fight and hunt this much just for a collectible that I probably shouldn't be spending money on anyway because I need to buy groceries first.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
so with the next, with Wave, when Wave 5 came out, the only one I was really interested in was Ganondorf, primarily to have yet another little toy to use on Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I actually have a store that says they're going to have them in stock. I will get there in the morning. I will get me a Ganondorf. So I get there first thing. I'm ready to, you know, wade into the line because it's one of those really tiny EBs tucked in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody in there.
Oh, yeah.
The shelf is fully stocked. The clerk looks in the back and says, yeah, we have even more in the back. And it's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. It's really been weird. I walked into a Toys R Us. Was it yesterday? No, I think it was on Saturday, which was the day after they came out. And down here, Toys R Us has Bowser Jr. as an exclusive amiibo. I walked in there, and there were still two of them sitting on the shelves. And generally, when there's an exclusive, they're gone like that.
Yeah, seriously.
So it's really surprising. It's actually been really nice for, you know, a collector who actually wants to have these things and not resell them or anything to just be able to go in and get them.
I've not seen a Dark Pit in the wild yet. That's the last one I'm really looking for before Falco comes out.
Dark Pit went pretty quick. It was kind of weird. I was talking to
it's just Pit. It's just Pit again. Why are you doing this? We want a real character. I don't even want this amiibo. It's in your pocket already. No, it's not. We didn't want it. I'm just collecting it because you've seen that image. It's like the before and after the first one, just the Link. I'm going to just do Link. And then the next one's like all 50 of them.
Oh, yeah, of course. That was me. I didn't have
Link going around saying,
my first amiibo was not Link, but hey, it's pretty much the same story.
So Link,
I do around,
not Hyrule, but Web Link saying, you know, how much would it cost to actually own every amiibo? And it's like, I don't want to know. Yeah, I do not want to put a dollar on this.
No,
I know I'm not going to like it.
No, it's a lot. I know that, but I don't want to look. I enjoy the hunt, though. It's been fun to, you know, get them and search for them and get the store exclusive ones. So, you know, I have ways. You know, importing is one way, which is not too bad. If you're willing to pay a little bit extra, importing is a viable option.
When Skylanders first came out, I'm like, hey, this looks pretty cool, but I'm not going to get into it. You know, it's not really Spyro. I don't want to get into this whole thing where you have to buy the platform. No, I'll pass. And then they did Disney Infinity, I'm like, wait, I can have Captain Jack Sparrow team up with Mr. Incredible. I can have the Incredibles team up with the Avengers. I can have Luke Skywalker fight alongside the Avengers. No, no, no. I will be strong. I will resist. I will not give in. And then Nintendo's like, here's Amiibos. And I was like, damn it. Okay.
Yeah, fine, I don't, you win. I don't usually get into the collectible stuff like that, but man, Nintendo hooked me. They hooked me good.
But I was a big collector of the what was it? Jazzwear Sonic line. The only one I'm missing from my collection is Blaze, because I figured, oh well, the scalpers have her on eBay for like $40 freaking. I can find her in store. That shouldn't be a problem. Nope. Oh, and now, man, pretty much the only thing you can find are like the one or two giant packs that nobody buys anyway. And the only place to actually find Blaze is the scalpers on eBay. It's like,
that really sucks. I like Blaze, I mean, too. She's like one of my favorite female Sonic characters, so.
Blaze,
that hurts.
To me, is really impressive because just if you stand back and look at her.
Yeah, yep.
She is an alternate reality princess cursed by her crazy awesome fire powers.
Mm-hmm.
That is fanfic level Mary Sue donut steel level of backstory, and yet she still works.
Exactly,
she's
yes.
Still enjoyable. She's still a cool character. So kudos to Blaze.
I'm good with characters that throw fire. I'm cool with those. So
Kyle likes fire. Yeah. Kyle likes to watch things burn.
Yes,
burn. Kyle burn. Yes. That was far too devious a laugh. I was not prepared for that.
It's okay. That one wasn't as good. Anyway, speaking of Nintendo, we've also got the Majora's Mask 3D soundtrack coming out.
Another soundtrack is in 3D?
It is a 3D soundtrack. The soundtrack is in 3D. I don't know how that works, but yes.
What? Well, it has length and width and depth.
Wow. Well, definitely has depth, because it's Zelda music.
Yeah, and that soundtrack especially is weird,
yes,
but good.
That sort of describes the game.
Yeah. When does that come out, good sir?
That comes out on October 7th, so just a couple days from now, from the time of release of this episode. So, of course,
this podcast and go, yay, I can go out to my store and pick it up right now, or two days from now.
Yes.
If I live in Japan, because it's Japan exclusive, too.
Of course it is. Of course it is. I think these soundtracks, if I'm not mistaken, might be at the Nintendo World Store. So if you live in New York City, you're set.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
That's only a 9-hour drive from where I live.
No, it's only a several day drive for me. I have no problem at all. I'll just hop in a car right now.
No, sure. What could be the problem? We actually go into a live concert that was put together for, it's a, I don't know how regularly they do it, but they adjust the lineup of the songs to kind of promote whatever game's coming out. I believe when Skyward Sword came out, they had a whole section of the concert devoted to, you know, promoting it. And since Majora's Mask 3D had just come out, they had a whole section devoted to that. So imagine, if you will, the theme for Clock Town by a full orchestra. And then as they're playing, it goes from day one to day three as that really ominous undertone starts to build. And hearing that live in a full orchestra will give you goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
It really sells the fact of just how good the sound direction in that game was.
Was that the Symphony of the Goddesses?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a really good show. Unfortunately, I have not gotten to see it live, and it looks like the last one might be on December 5th of this year. So if you're in San Jose and you want to go to see Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses, there you go.
It's definitely worth the price of admission. I didn't have to pay because we got in through friends. So big nod to marioshat.com for its administrator helping us get in the door, because that was a lovely evening.
Awesome. Man, I really missed out. Geez, I don't think they had any shows near me.
Well, you know, the Midwest ain't exactly known for its happening video game scene.
Midwest? I'm in the Southwest, yo.
No, that neck of the... You don't have trees, Kyle. You don't get video games. You don't get music.
Oh, man. That's you get is scorpions. Yeah, we got video games live a couple of years ago in Phoenix, so...
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it happened. Also, this is the home state of the mini-bosses and Mega Ran, so there is that.
Oh, well, can we just go back edit out the part where I put my foot in my mouth?
Fun fact, but that's okay. There's a lot more going on up where you are, so... up there in the Fortress of Bumblitude. That's what we're calling it, right?
I usually just call it a pillow fort, but sure, whatever.
Oh, okay, darn. I prefer Fortress of Bumblitude. That's your domain.
I
do too.
I like that. We'll keep that.
Okay, good. We're coming to you. Ian's coming to you from the Fortress of Bumblitude.
Oh. So, in other video game news, kind of tying back to Amiibos and stuff, Shovel Knight is getting a physical release a few days from now on October 13th.
Ah, yes. Shovel Knight. A beautiful game.
I'm very late on that bandwagon, but man, is it a satisfying experience.
Yes, it is. It is also very difficult. It is the definition of Nintendo hard. But
look, just because I rage quit on a couple of levels doesn't mean it's not possible.
No, it's very possible. I've beaten it, but it's not easy.
No, it's not. Not in the slightest.
No. Yes, physical release of Shovel Knight is coming out for Wii U, 3DS, PS4, and the Xbox One on October 13th.
But the only one we care about is the Wii U version because...
The Amiibo, Shovel Knight Amiibo, is also coming out holiday 2015, so sometime later this year.
Now, you said it was the first one not being made by Nintendo?
Right. That is correct.
Who's making it, then? Is it that club that's making it?
Yes, they are... I don't know who they're getting to produce it. I mean, this is all low-level stuff that they don't usually reveal. They don't usually reveal their production companies or anything like that for toys, necessarily, unless they're doing it themselves. But, Yacht Club, I think Yacht Club is handling all of the production and distribution of it, which is pretty cool. It's the first Amiibo that... licenses the technology rather than is created by the creator of the technology. So that definitely opens the floodgates for more third-party Amiibos later on down the road.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Yacht Club is a very new developer, and Shovel Knight was their first real game, right?
Yes. Yacht Club is sort of an offshoot of a several developers from Way Forward, who you might know as the guys who did Shantae and the Mighty games, like Mighty Switch Force and Mighty Milky Way.
So they come from
stuff.
Good stock, but still, that's a heck of a first step out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Here's this retro game, and it's perfect and glorious, and now we butter our bread with liquid money. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Kickstarter was hugely successful. That's where it came from originally, was a Kickstarter. They have been kind of slow in releasing the new content and the stretch goals that they promised, but they are releasing them, which is good. So it's not like they've taken the money and ran. It's just I think they may not have realized the level of development time that it would have taken to get through all the stuff, which is why the expansion pack that was, I think, originally slated for earlier this year just came out, the first free expansion for the game.
That, and as new technology came out and the possibility of an Amiibo came out, things might have been pushed back to accommodate and work with that.
Yes.
Now, I am behind on the times yet again. That free download pack, is that available through WiiWare?
Yeah, all of the content that is getting released for Shovel Knight, I believe, will be free. At least all of the announced content. So, along with the expansion that just came out as of the release of this episode, there will be two more: a special challenge mode and the gender swap mode will be coming out. So those are the four things that have been announced so far. I don't know if beyond that they're planning on doing more content, or if they're finally going to, you know, work on Shovel Knight 2 or something else like that. But we will see.
Goodness gracious, so much good stuff to be had.
So, but the physical release, of course, of Shovel Knight will also have the same content as a digital version, and you'll get it for free as it comes out. It's self-published by Yacht Club, so they're still an indie developer and everything. They're not pushing anything off to anybody else.
Which is really impressive to me. Just the sheer amount of work and effort that goes into that is staggering.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
They could have just pushed out the game itself and been done with it. Bought their own little island and lived the rest of their days laughing with that money butter I was talking about. But no,
no, nope. They really want to keep this game going. So there's also going to be a full color manual.
Oh, really? How quaint. I do hope it's written. I do hope it's written in the kind of old 80s manual type of way.
Oh, it hopefully will be. I mean, it is practically an NES game. It's a modern NES game.
I want all the minor enemies to have absolutely nonsensical, stupid, forgettable names.
Like, have all names that are badly, poorly translated from the original Japanese. And yes, just
the Beatles are like Gabu Raduman, and the little horses with the jousting poles are called Steve. Why? Because. Just because.
That would be awesome. But that is kind of a rarity, actually. Modern video games usually don't even have manuals. I opened up Super Mario Maker the other day, and there was a little pamphlet inside saying, hey, the manual's in the game. I'm like, oh, okay.
Do you know what wasn't in there? Your code for the old Club Nintendo.
Club Nintendo. Yeah, I miss Club Nintendo. Sure, the rewards kind of sucked later on, but that's okay. Hopefully they'll bring it back soon.
Or something like it.
Yes.
Maybe with the NX, whatever that shall be.
We'll see. Maybe it's a virtual reality helmet.
Yeah, because that worked out so well last time. Virtual Boy!
No, it's better this time because the technology's better. And yeah, I haven't played with virtual reality yet, so I have no idea. Oh, well. So we've already talked about the Amiibo a little bit, but it will work with the Wii U and 3DS version. It's going to unlock co-op multiplayer in the Wii U version of Shovel Knight. And also you would be able to use it to unlock new character customization options and abilities. So I guess new costume options will be available, and also new abilities like the relics and special powers that you get throughout the game. And there will be a special challenge mode where there are new stages.
Wasn't hard enough to begin with.
No, of course not. Of course not. But there's a special challenge mode with stages designed around those new abilities, so you'll be able to take advantage of them with some new gameplay. And of course, the Amiibo is only going to work for Nintendo consoles, but hey, if you don't have it on a Nintendo console, you can still get the Amiibo.
Now, here's an interesting thought. All right, so the Wii came out.
Yes.
And introduced the Wiimote and all that. And the hardcore gaming industry poo-pooed it because, oh, you can go over there and waggle with your grandmother, small child, but we'll be over here playing real video games. And then Nintendo made all the money. So Microsoft and PlayStation said, you know what? We like motion control. Here's the Kinect. Here, flail. Flail as much as you like, and here's the PS Move, and please come back, please give us the money. So now we've got Amiibos, which are kind of going crazy, and you've got Skylanders and Disney Infinity as multiplat. So it kind of scratches that itch, but do you think Microsoft or Sony might try to get in on the whole mascot collectible thing, or do they just not have the staple of characters to really pull from?
I would say Sony could, in theory. Microsoft, probably not. But Sony has enough recognizable characters that they might be able to get away with something like that. It just depends on where they go for characters and what sort of game they create. And, you know, whether anyone's even interested in, like, say, a Parappa the Rapper figure. Which I would be. I would love a Parappa the Rapper figure.
But yeah, it would actually work pretty well if they did Little Big Planet 4. You know, instead of just Sackboy running around, plug in Jack and Daxter or...
Yeah. That would be really cool,
Kratos,
actually.
To be really weird.
Yeah, sure. Kratos, I mean, well, Kratos is a boss in the Shovel Knight on the Sony console versions. He's really? A bonus boss, yeah. And the Microsoft console's got the Battletoads with a special level for it, even modeled after the original Battletoads, which I thought was really freaking clever.
That is. That's really cool.
Yeah. So the other consoles aren't getting left out in the cold as far as Shovel Knight goes, but those are already available, and they don't have Amiibo support, so no Amiibo support, no buy. I actually would have to get Shovel Knight for Wii U because I only have it on PC.
well, my PC can't run games at all. I somehow managed to screw up the BIOS right when I opened up the bloody machine, so I've been working with a somewhat laggy and buggy machine. It is kind of good because it means all I can really do is work on the machine, which is the entire purpose of the laptop.
Yeah.
Instead of waste time playing Team Fortress 2 and losing horribly. But I got enough distractions as it is. But yeah, I've got the Wii U version.
Yes. I was there.
Yes, you were. Now, what are you looking forward to in terms of future Amiibos, my fellow Amiibo junkie?
Well, let's see. What do we got coming up? We've got the Yarn Yoshis on October 16th. Definitely would like to have a green one.
Yeah, but that one only comes packaged with the game, correct?
I know. I believe so. I believe that is correct. Which I'm also interested in the game, so that's not a huge deal breaker for me. And like the Mario Amiibo that was temporarily exclusively packaged with Mario Party 10 should be a individual release, hopefully, somewhere around along the line. So
maybe.
Yes. Weirdly enough, the Yarn Yoshis have been out for months, at least in Europe. They've been out since, like, June or July. It's weird.
Yeah, well, release stuff in Europe is weird anyway, you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
It's like Japan first, North America later, sometimes Canada gets what the U.S. gets, maybe. Possibly, Okay, one second. Diverting the conversation.
Yes.
This is a bunch of bullshit right here. There's a... I don't know if you ever played the Tales of RPG series.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, so you know that Tales of Zestiria is coming out this year.
Yes.
Okay, so coming out this year, and I saw a pre-order bundle that had all these bells and whistles. It was absolutely tantalizing. An art book... a 30-minute anime movie that's basically the first little bit of the game. And I saw a Japanese version of it, absolutely gorgeous to behold. Some music soundtrack stuff, full figurine of the main character, and a couple other little knickknacks in there. And I'm like, ooh, yes, please. I can go without food for a month. You know, ramen's tasty this time of year. I will buy this thing. Can't find it. Can't find it, can't pre-order it, yada yada. Go to the local EB, you know, do you have it in your system yet? No. Turns out, it might be an Amazon exclusive in the U.S. The Canadian version is you get three little, like, chibi keychains or something.
Okay, what the hell?
Seriously!
Alright, well...
It's not a badass statue, it's not an art book, it's not, you know, glorious anime, he said, being an otaku. It's just these little chibi thingies.
Oh, man. That's kind of lame.
It should come out. And it comes out, late October, October 20th, I think?
Ah.
I'd have to double check, which would give me maybe enough time to get deep into it before Star Fox Zero comes out in November.
Star Fox Zero, which you said looked interesting, but not quite up to snuff yet.
I got to play what was basically the E3 demo build.
Yes.
And it has potential. I liked certain aspects of it, but there's a lot of things that have me worried about it, especially the fact that it doesn't immediately look like you would be able to turn off the gyroscope controls. It looks like the game is built around the whole two-screened thing, and that is really clunky, and it's not fun to play. So I'm holding out hope that there is, like, a watered-down version where, you know, maybe it's just Miyamoto on the bottom screen frowning disapprovingly. You know, I'll deal with that. Just give me back the good old Star Fox 64 gameplay. Don't give me this nonsense where I'm aiming in the air while trying to steer. It's anyway, amiibos.
Yes, it definitely looked it looked kind of awkward.
It's also got me nervous because E3 last year, they said the new Legend of Zelda was going to come out holiday this year.
Yeah.
And then they showed off a very, very early demo of Star Fox, which is just the R-Wing flying around an empty field.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like, we're working with Star Fox. It's like, okay, cool. We'll get Zelda, and then we'll get Star Fox, and then we'll be fine. This year at E3, Zelda's been pushed back indefinitely. We don't know when it's coming out. And Star Fox is now coming out in its place, so to speak, for the holiday season. And to me, maybe I'm being paranoid. I have no way of backing this up. But to me, it feels like they said, oops, Zelda needs more time. It's the more successful franchise. Let's shove Star Fox out the door so at least we have a name IP out there for the holidays. That's got me antsy.
That is extremely likely. You're probably not wrong, unfortunately.
Everyone's been saying, just give Star Fox back to Nintendo. They know how to do it right. They'll do it right this time.
Well, you got to remember the original game. As far as I'm concerned, my personal favorite game in the series is the Super Nintendo version. And that was developed by a British company, I believe, Argonaut Software. So, I mean, the Star Fox series kind of has more roots in the more Western side of things. So, I don't know if there's like a reason that might be a reason why Nintendo's always been kind of tepid with it, because they tend to be a little more hands off with the Western side of their IPs a lot of the time. I don't know why.
Maybe it's holdovers from the old 90s East versus West development stuff.
Yeah, something like that, which kind of worries me. All right, well, we got off topic from Amiibo a little bit. You know, this has been an Amiibo-heavy episode. A Nintendo-heavy episode. That's okay, though, I hope. I hope our listeners enjoy some good old-fashioned Nintendo. I know I do. But yes, the Amiibo situation is we've got the Yarn Yoshis coming out on October 16th. Okay. The Mii Fighter 3-pack comes out on November 1st. Yeah, I would mostly agree there. I do want the Mii Gunner. But, you know...
I mean, I see the appeal if you want to put your personal Mii into it so you can carry it around. But, I don't know, part of the whole Mii thing was that it's customizable and you can't really customize it. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some people have done some amazing customization on the Amiibos, but...
Yeah.
You know, besides that, you know, me personally, if I try to customize it, no, ain't gonna look good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't have the talent for that either. But the people that do some really awesome, incredible stuff with it. So That has me interested in what people will do with the Mii Fighters, actually, because people will customize the heck out of those things.
Yeah. Did you see the Supersonic customization?
Yes, I did.
It's not proven, but man,
it looks pretty freaking good.
For those who haven't seen it, it's basically the Sonic with the spines upturned, with the pose adjusted so that he's flying, and then itty-bitty Chaos Emeralds embedded in the stand around him. It's really slick-looking.
Yeah, yep. That is a really nice amiibo. There are definitely some custom ones that I wouldn't mind having, but not in the cards for me, unfortunately. Oh, but we got the Mii Fighters. We got the Mii Fighters.
There was somebody out there who I think was doing custom jobs. You just had to provide the amiibo.
Yeah, that's like, true. I think there's a few of those on Etsy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess the person who was doing the Callie and Mary customizations for Splatoon was offering those to people who sent them the Splatoon amiibo to customize from, so.
And that's pretty much worth the purchase price alone.
True. Yes, it is. I would love to have amiibo of both of those characters. Let's see, what else do we got coming up? We got Mewtwo coming out on November 13th.
Yes.
It's kind of interesting that Mewtwo is getting his amiibo before Falco. And he's not even a main roster character, not a launch roster character.
Yeah, but which would you rather have, the badass psychic mutant kitty thingy or a bird from the Bronx? You know?
I'm not big into Pokemon, so I'm going to have to go with Falco. I have never been a big Pokemon guy. I mean, I respect the series and everything, but it's just like, it's not really ever done it for me. I'm not a big RPG guy, which I think might be the kind of the killer for me. Random turn-based battles just aren't my thing.
I think I finally fell off the Poke bandwagon with the last generation. I don't know. I'm not really big on a lot of the new designs or a lot of the new gameplay, and I think what really started to turn me off was when they started getting into the different forms, not just the mega transformations, but never mind catching the thing, but it could actually change shape depending on what you got on it. And the most recent thing is, all right, so you know how in you don't play it, but you're familiar with the series, at least in passing, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with it. I've watched the remake, like Leaf Green, I believe, was what I watched. So yeah, I've seen it. I know how it works.
So they've got the big legendaries are kind of like the mascots for each version.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's always the third one off to the side to tease at another sequel down the way.
Mm-hmm.
So with the last round, X and Y, you had the big red Y-shaped bird, Yvottle, I think. And then the stag, who, if you look at it just the right way, is kind of X-shaped. And that was Xerneas or something or other. It was really cool looking. And then off to the side for the Z one is this weird underground snake monster called Zygarde or something like that. So apparently, good old Zygarde here has four different freaking forms. He's got this itty-bitty acorn-shaped base baby form, a secondary form where he looks like a dog wearing a scarf. The snake form isn't even its final form. It has another level altogether, Kakarot.
Oh, God.
And I kid you not, the final form, I believe, is called Perfect Zygarde, and it kind of looks like Perfect Cell. It's this weird, vaguely humanoid golem thing. It's like, all right, I think I'm done. I think we're finished here.
You've had enough.
I think I'm finally ready to move on. I can appreciate it from a distance, but...
Yeah, that's what I've done with Pokemon since it pretty much started.
I can't tell you what all 700 are at this point. It's a bit beyond me.
Yes. I do like me some Charizard. Charizard's kind of a badass, so... Lucario and Greninja also pretty cool. The Smash ones are generally pretty cool, so I'm going to, defer to them. I do like Mudkip, though. I don't know.
You went there. You had to go there.
I like Mudkip.
You heard
I like Mudkip. It's true.
I did. All right. I will say, though, that X and Y introduced the first Pokemon that had a dual type move, which was flying and fighting, and it's a luchador chicken.
Okay. And its signature that move sounds is awesome. Into the
air, body slams the opponent. That's
that sounds amazing. Okay, that's my new favorite one. I don't even know what it's called, but I like that one.
That English name is Howlucha.
Okay, sure, that'll work.
One part hawk, one part luchador. I call it a chicken, though, because it looks like a chicken. Luchador chicken.
Speaking of animals dressed up funny, Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival is getting its own Amiibo series, releasing also on November 13th. And that will have Tom Nook, KK Slider, Isabel, Cyrus, Digby, Lottie, Mabel, and Reese.
No, that was more of my money.
I do not know half of those characters. Should I feel bad I've not played Animal Crossing? Is it like SimCity Town, SimTown, with it's, cute animals? I'm not sure exactly.
It's very simplistic, but once it sinks its claws into you, you lose yourself for at least 3 months.
That's what I've heard.
You finally get burned out and you're like, okay, I need to play something else. But because it's all real-time based and your town will go to hell without you there managing it, you come back going, oh no, my neighbors have moved away. Not you. You traded that shirt for a sofa. I remember you. And you're gone now. And it's worse with the newest version because Isabel is this absolutely adorable, plucky, always there for you assistant who runs the city while you're away.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one who greets you every time you come in. So it's like you're abandoning someone on a personal level. It's not like you just left town for a while. You left your assistant and she's been doing everything going, oh, I'm sure he'll be back one day. I'm sure the mayor will come back. Don't worry. Those weeds won't be picked eventually. He hasn't forgotten us as we languish here in digital purgatory. Oh,
that sounds terrible. That sounds like it's really depressing.
It can be if you put too much thought into it.
True, true.
But that goes for just about anything, doesn't it?
That's true, too. The only figures I'd really be interested from that line are KK Slider and maybe Tom Nook. So, I do like KK Slider. He's cool.
Was it you who found that link of KK Slider singing Snake Eater?
Oh, yes, of course. I played it for you when I was there. It was pretty glorious, was it not?
It was transcendent. Once the show is over, you know, once we finish the Q&A, make a like, ask a question, do whatever, but then immediately in YouTube search for KK Slider Snake Eater.
Looping this back around to Splatoon, I actually recently found a version of the of Splatak with the KK Slider as vocals.
All right, so we're gonna have to link that.
It also uses Super Nintendo instruments, so it's like SNES style, but then they use KK Slider as the vocals, which is ingenious. It's brilliant. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up the Amiibo news. We got the Omega Yarn Yoshi coming out on November 15th. This is a Yarn Yoshi, but huge.
Why is it coming out a month after everything else, though? That makes no sense.
I don't know. Probably because it takes time to make them, maybe. But because I don't think the Mega Yarn Yoshis have come out elsewhere yet. So they're probably still in production. And they are all handmade, so it takes time.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was handmade. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, the Yarn Yoshis are handmade, and all the other figures are hand-painted, which is kind of interesting, which makes the level of detail on some of them all the more insane. Like, if you look at Palutena, all the detail on her being hand-painted, and how many of them they had to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's also, though, why some of the faces look weird on some of the earlier ones and that kind of thing for Amiibo in general.
Of course, if I was sitting there in the sweatshop line doing, you know, 100 of these a day just to make myself not go insane, I probably would give Link a bit of a derpy face.
Yeah, I feel you there. And finally, Falco, November 20th.
Yay!
I think he wraps up the main roster, the launch roster release for Smash Brothers. I think he will be the last one.
He also coincides with Star Fox Zero, now that I think about it.
Oh, yeah. That might be why he's back on November 20th. Okay, I guess that would make sense.
Maybe.
Huh. Cool.
I was kind of wondering if they would go all out and actually do like a full set of the team. You know, just to really break my wallet in half, but I don't know.
That would be cool. That would be cool. I'm still holding out for Hyrule Warriors, a Hyrule Warriors line, because I would buy the hell out of that.
Oh, dude, don't say that. I have bills to pay.
I know, so do I. So do I. But I would buy it. I know. But I would buy it. I would buy it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Especially Zelda and Impa.
Yes, the best incarnations of both. Oh man, why'd you say that?
I'm sorry. I'd even buy Lana. I actually like Lana, so.
She's a bit pop diva-ish for me, but she also smashes things with a giant cube of energy. So.
Well, yes, she is. She is very pop diva-ish. She is pretty much Hatsune Miku.
Yeah. If that were to come out, I might have to purchase it online because I don't know if I am comfortable walking into a store. Here's the big hairy guy buying the little figurine of the tiny, barely dressed girl. Yeah, no. I'm collecting it for the game. Really?
Right.
Truly. Please believe me. Please, I need this.
Come on, everybody walked into the store and bought Palutena just fine. No problem.
Wait, didn't she? Was Amazon exclusive, wasn't she?
Oh, that's right. Damn. You got me there.
Maybe that's why they did it. They knew nobody would walk in on their own free will.
I would have. I love Palutena. She's awesome.
She is fun. That whole game.
I know, yes.
You know what? We need to devote a show entirely to just geeking out about Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh, God. That game is so good. The game's so good, I bought it used at a huge markup. I don't know why that game is still so expensive. I think it's more expensive than when it came out, but man. What's that?
It had a limited run, didn't it?
I think so. It had a very limited run, so, and there's a high demand for it, so copies are still pretty pricey.
And good luck trying to find the trading cards that went with it.
Actually, Nintendo Store sells them.
Oh.
Store.nintendo.com. It's a great place, actually.
You are going to go back and edit out all these parts where I put my foot in my mouth, right?
Of course.
Or we're just going to change the intro song to this show to me being an idiot. Derp, 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 derp. Derp, 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 derp. Hey, Kyle, I'm dumb. Derp, 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 derp.
You know what? It's all right. It's not your fault. You didn't know. I kindly informed you.
You did. You did. You're being kind.
Am I really informing?
Yeah, we're going to stick with you being kind.
Okay.
Speaking of kindly informing, we've run a little longer than what we originally planned, but hey, I guess we're doing long shows now. So let's move on to the Q&A session in which you, the people, our beloved listeners, never mind that this is the first show, our beloved listeners have submitted questions to me. Kyle, what is our first question?
Well, Ian, what we have...
Well, Kyle.
Well.
Yes, folks, this is what you signed up to listen to.
This is what happens when you downloaded the show. Us saying well at each other for 5 minutes.
So how was the show? Well, they did pretty well.
Oh, no. This is all getting cut out. All right, let's get into the first Q&A question. Oh, by the way, I should also mention that if you are listening to this show and you have no idea what we're going to be talking about, because you might very well not, you might be confused. Ian writes for Archie, specifically the Sonic comics that are currently ongoing, all the way up to, what, 276 issues right now?
I do believe 276 is the latest one. By the time this comes out, we might be up to 277. I'm not sure.
We might be. 276 is what's sitting next to me right now, along with Sonic Universe 79. I have not yet read either of them because I am super, super lazy. By which I mean I'm actually really freaking busy. But anyway.
All right, let's get on to them questions. These people have waited for hours to listen to our nonsense.
Yes, they've been waiting for hours, or probably what feels like hours anyway.
They're ready for something real. Yes. Okay, go for it. Shoot, all right. Fire away.
All right, Jonah Carter asks, will we get updates on Lost Hedgehog Tales and the exciting possible new projects hinted at earlier this summer on the Bumblecast?
Lost Hedgehog Tales is something that I intended to come out far earlier than it's turning out to be. As I've told folks a number of times, the priority for me has to be getting my deadlines met, and I'm looking for new work now that Mega Man and Sonic Boom are not being published anymore.
Right.
So, you know, doing work and looking for work and just various day-to-day stuff comes first. Lost Hedgehog Tales, which, let's be honest with ourselves, is glorified fanfic at this point, will come eventually. I know a lot of people want closure to where I was taking stuff. It's just, it's got to come behind everything else. So I am working on it. There are documents that are it works in progress. And the idea is that I'll be releasing it in staggered sections rather than one giant mammoth document so that I can try to get it out a little bit faster. But pretty much at this point, no news is good news, because that means I'm still working on it. And yes, the next thing concrete you'll hear from me on it is either it's out or a dog ate my computer. You know, I don't know.
A very likely possibility.
As for what all the secret plans I have going on, I will definitely be shouting those from the rooftop, be it Twitter or the main web page or through the Facebook page or through Bumblecast. It will be, you know, heard. And pretty much every show we're going to end with various links and shout-outs and promotions. So you'll hear about it. You'll hear about the stuff I'm working on.
Cool. And, of course, we can talk about now that you are you have written an issue of the Ninja Turtles ongoing series for IDW.
Not a full issue, just the backup story for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Amazing Adventures number 5, which is a mouthful.
Yes.
But it's my foot in the door. It's really cool that I'm working with Ninja Turtles since, you know, Michelangelo was my patron saint when I was 8. Can I get a cowabunga?
Cowabunga!
Thank you, my child. So I really hope to do more with that. And, you know, I'm putting out feelers to publishers and such around. So, yeah, I hopefully will be doing more Ninja Turtle work because it is awesome.
I hope
and
so
it's
too.
Work. And it would be awesome work.
I do love me some Ninja Turtles, so I'm really glad to see you writing it. And I just, when I looked at also IDW, like, for some reason, I was thinking, yeah, I could see Ian totally going to IDW. And then you ended up writing for IDW. And I'm like, well, all right. It's like my mind got red for some reason. It was
weird. Do me a favor and see me winning the lottery, all right?
I'm trying. It's hard, but I'm trying. I need to see myself winning it, too, or something. I don't know. I don't even play it, so maybe that's a problem. Anyway, let's move on to the next of these 5 glorious questions from Croc Petto. This is about the Flynn for Sonic campaign. Can you give us a little taste of what you would do if you had the opportunity of writing a Sonic game script? How would you handle it? Would it be comedy-centric like the more recent games, or continuity-driven? A bit of both, or something completely different?
All right, let's dispel any delusions of grandeur right here and now. Right. Let's say that Sega of America did see the Flynn for Sonic campaign, the support, which has been absolutely humbling. You guys are just, you make me happy. It really is just this warm, snuggly feeling to see so many people say, yeah, Ian's awesome. It's like, thank you. Thank you very much. let's say that actually works.
Yes.
They see it, they decide to put me on the next major release or minor release or whatever. I do not get to dictate what the story will be.
Right.
Whatever the game is, whatever the game's direction is, whatever Sega of Japan says the story will be, that's what it will be.
Yes.
My job as the writer for that game, from my understanding and experience with interacting with Sega, is that I would be writing the script, putting in the finer details. I would not be plotting the course. I would just be sailing the ship, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and this is in broad strokes, I think I would try to go for something that's, excuse me, kind of a balance of plot and comedy driven, because it's Sonic the Hedgehog. It doesn't need to be deep and real and gritty. We've been there. We've done that. It doesn't work. But at the same time, Sonic Boom is very much the goofy version of the franchise, so I don't want to go too comedy with that, because then it's just the same note all across the board. So I guess it would be pretty much the tone that I have in the comic right now. You know, something that you can appreciate and enjoy on multiple levels. But it really would depend heavily on what Sega told me to do.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually kind of why I tossed this question out there, because I knew the answer already, but I know a lot of people don't. So figured it was a good thing to get out there. Next, the KKM asks, when will Sally and Nicole be an official pairing? I am in full 100% support of this, by the way.
I am too. It would be fun. Yes. And I have nothing against it personally.
Mm-hmm.
I would dare say that if you go through the book since the reboot, you could probably make a case for it.
Yes.
Here's the problem. It's politics.
Right.
And I don't even mean the whole gay and lesbian rights thing, right, which shouldn't be a debate. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into it.
Yeah.
One of the rules we had when we started the Bumblecast, no debate about religion or politics. We're not even going to go there. But
yeah.
I've made my stance pretty clear. If you're two consenting adults, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Anyway, the problem is Sally is kind of stigmatized within the fandom as Sonic's girlfriend. And the catch 22 is we are not allowed to have Sonic settle down in any serious relationship with anybody.
Yes.
So Sonic will never be able to commit to Sally. But no one, well, I shouldn't say no one. There's a large portion of the comic fan base and the old cartoon fan base that would not accept anything outside of Sally and Sonic. So if I didn't think that it would seriously derail things, I would push for it harder. But I honestly think that if we were to try to go that route, the fan backlash would be detrimental to the book. And I think a lot of the shipping and relationship nonsense that swirls around the book kind of drags it down anyway. There's nothing more frustrating than really putting a lot of effort into a story and then seeing nothing but discussion over one line of dialogue or one scene around one. There's just too much relationship drama. So I'm kind of done with it in general. So this isn't to say I don't support a Sally-Nicole pairing. I'm just kind of done with pairings at all.
Yeah.
Sally, yeah. Or Eggman, or Bot, Q-Bot. No, it doesn't matter. I'm done. I'm focusing on other aspects.
Mama Robotnik and Bivalve. Wait, we can't don't do that one anymore. We can't do that one anymore anyway. Never mind. That can't happen.
Don't talk about Mama Robotnik to me. I'm sincere.
Hi, Dubs.
I'm too busy to listen to this anyway.
Yes. Oh man, I'm just really surprised that that would be like the breaking point. You've done a reboot. You think the reboot would be the breaking point? No.
Well, you know how the Sonic fandom is.
Yes, I know. I know.
It's devout, you know, niche following.
Yes,
there are people who would fight to the death over which was better, Underground or Sad AM or Adventures of or X or Boom.
Oh, I know. I was there.
Season one of each one, or which version of the comic, which country's version of the comic, and on and on and on. Let's just enjoy the Little Blue Hedgehog, please.
Would I'm guessing Archie wouldn't really have any objections to it, but would Sega?
See, I don't know. Archie, I'm pretty sure they would not. And I think the only objection they might have is the same reason why I don't really approach the topic right. in the book, is because it's a 20-page glorified ad for a video game. It isn't a social platform.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd get any resistance on Archie's side, and since Nicole and Sally are pretty much North American exclusive, and you know all the comic stuff is rather niche, I don't think Sega would even notice, but I'm really not sure.
Huh. Yeah, I was just kind of curious about that. Next question from Penguin God. What is the best way to cook an egg?
Personally, I enjoy a nice scrambled egg.
I would agree.
A little touch of milk, a little bit of butter to, you know, liven up the pan. Plenty of salt, he said, with probably a burgeoning heart condition.
You are a man after my own heart, by the way.
And eggs. I'm after your eggs. Give me your eggs, Kyle.
Oh, God, no. Not my eggs.
It's also partly because I don't know how to cook eggs any other way.
It's true.
And I don't managed either. To screw up cooking scrambled eggs before, which is really an impressive feat of stupidity.
Scrambled eggs are hard. If you want to do them right, it's kind of... It's a lot of finesse involved with the proper way to scramble an egg.
Okay. I need to correct myself here before we get too far. I need to correct this grievous mistake.
Go for it.
If it's eggs I'm making, it's scrambled eggs, because that's all I can do. If it's eggs that I can have from anywhere, it's my mother-in-law's Eggs Benedict. Holy mackerel, Kyle. Oh. It's a soft-boiled egg on top of pea meal bacon on an English muffin in her own homemade hollandaise sauce. It's just freaking amazing.
Okay, I know where I'm going.
For
every meal.
this is getting off track, but, you know, Q&A. You asked me a question. Here's your answer.
Go for it.
This guy I've known since, like, second grade. He got married to his partner in California. I got to be his best man. Lovely reception. And the after-wedding brunch, before we all headed back to our airplanes and such, we went to this little cafe in Southern California, and I got Eggs Benedict on a piece of fried chicken. And it was the most perfectly tender, lightly breaded, so it wasn't like heavy and greasy. It was just, you know, flavorfully crunchy. Eggs Benedict. Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, Kyle? That was the best thing ever.
That sounds good.
That's worth flying back to Southern California for.
Oh, man. That's a hell of a flight. But, hey, I'll take your word for it. That sounds pretty good.
I don't even remember where the place was. I probably couldn't find it again to save my life.
By the way, go ahead.
No, just saying, I will always remember it.
I was going to say, by the way, for the people who are wondering, I've curated these questions. I am the one who is looking at your questions. So when you ask them, be sure, please use the hashtag Bumblecast. Because otherwise, they're a lot more difficult for me to find. You can either direct them at me, or at least use the hashtag and direct them at Ethan or whatever.
Let's make it a rule. You have to use the hashtag Bumblecast, just because, you know, don't make us do the extra effort. If you want to ask us a question, that's all it takes. Just hashtag Bumblecast.
Okay. Yeah. So, and also, generally, because of the kind of person I am, I like silly questions. So the sillier your question is, the better. We'll hopefully eventually get to most all of the questions that you guys are asking. Most all of them. Probably not all of them, but hopefully we'll get to most of them. We're planning on doing about 5 per episode, so in case you guys were curious. And let's go ahead and get into the last question, actually, from Mikhail Turkelson. When you write for Sonic, whose voice do you imagine in your head? Roger Craig Smith, Jason Griffith, or perhaps even Jaleel White?
I get this question a lot, and it really varies from character to character, but with Sonic in particular, I think I hear... It's weird. It's kind of like a mixture between Jaleel White and Roger Craig Smith.
Yep, that's kind of what I hear too, actually.
It's the kind of dry confidence, I guess, that Roger brings to it. That kind of self-assuredness.
Yeah.
But with a higher pitch, close to what Jaleel did.
Yeah, sometimes I still hear it with, what's his name, Ryan Drummond?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, sometimes I still hear his voice, too.
Maybe Ryan's voice, but with Roger's delivery.
Ah, yeah. That might be pretty close to it, yeah. I know with, like, Sally and Nicole, I do not hear their original cartoon voice, like, at all anymore.
Really?
Yeah, no, like, not at all in my head. I know they have both. They both had the same voice actress for Sad AM, right?
Did they? I don't know. I'll have to check that.
Let us go find that out right now so we don't look like complete fools on this here podcast.
Only partial fools.
Oh, right, right. We do have
complete fools comes with a Patreon that will launch in like 3 months.
Let's see. Kath Soucie is the voice of Sally. I believe she's also the voice of Nicole. And she has done a lot. Holy crap. Yep, she is the voice of Nicole.
Oh, well, there you go then.
Yep. That's kind of what I thought. They do sound kind of similar if you listen closely. But yeah, I definitely don't hear Nicole, especially Nicole, the same way. Because she is a completely different character to me now. She's...
Oh, sure.
Been hugely expanded.
I think I can maybe hear the voice, but definitely with a more personable delivery.
Right.
What I would love, if we could get Rob Paulsen to return as Antoine, but reading him in his current badassery.
I do still hear Rob Paulsen for Antoine. I can't hear anybody else for Antoine, I don't think.
I don't hear Rotor's original voice with Rotor as he is now. It's completely different.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I agree there. I do not hear that. Who else? Robotnik, of course, sounds more like the current games to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mike Pollock is Dr. Eggman. There's no two ways
about it. Yeah, I don't think there's any way to get around that. Jim Cummings is an amazing Robotnik, but, I mean...
Oh, sure.
Personality-wise, they're completely different characters anyway. Oh, who else is in here?
Oh, shoot. Who did the voice for Snively?
Snively was Charles Adler?
Okay. He's definitely still the voice I hear in my head, just not quite as... spineless, I guess?
Yeah.
So a little more sinister this time around.
Snively hasn't appeared much in the comics lately.
Not a whole lot, no, but he's around.
But he's there, yeah. Let's see, who else? Tim Curry is the voice of King Acorn?
Yes, he was.
Really? I did not realize that this is...
Go back and watch the episode again. It's amazing.
I do need to watch this in again, apparently. I never realized this.
And he is definitely the voice in my head for current King Acorn. Maybe with the ham turned down to from 12 to about 10, but it's still that voice, because, come on, it's Tim frickin' Curry.
Of course. Let's see, Christine Cavanaugh is the voice of Bunny, who I still pretty much hear the same, too.
Mm-hmm.
And... Tails' voice kind of, fluctuates in, like, every piece of media he's in, so.
Let's just go with the current Tails, because, who's his voice actress now?
Let's go with a generic 10-year-old sounding woman. That's not really fair, I'm sorry.
because the current voice actor, Tails hasn't had a good voice actor until now.
Colleen O'Shaughnessy.
Thank you.
She's very good, actually.
And now that, I'm terrible with all these names. Who's the current voice actress for Amy?
Good question. I like Amy's current voice actress.
Mm-hmm. Now that
Cindy Robinson?
There we go. Because I remember her saying that originally she was directed to sound as Minnie Mouse-like as she could, and then the fans said, no, that's awful, so she stopped. And now she's excellent. So pretty much I'm good with all the current voice cast.
Yeah, it sounds good. It's just whatever script they're given is sometimes of question. Mm-hmm. Hello, Sonic Boom. All right, and that does it for the main questions this week, but we do have one bonus question from me.
Oh!
I'm legitimately curious about this.
Okay.
With Sonic Boom getting canceled, mm-hmm. is there any chance of seeing Styx come to either the main Sonic universe or showing up in Sonic Boom, or of a Sonic Boom arc happening in universe?
I don't know, truth be told. If you had asked me that a month ago, I would have said not a chance. But with Styx showing up in the Olympics game, with Styx getting official art on Sonic Channel and a full profile, I'm kind of wondering if they might be letting her bridge over into the main continuity just because she's become so popular.
See, and I like Styx a lot, especially the way you wrote her in the crossover. It was just...
Oh yeah, Styx is delightful.
I know, I love her. She's freaking awesome. It's like, what if Sonic Comics had Deadpool?
So, I don't know at this point. I don't have any plans on broaching the subject yet, because right now we're focusing on finally wrapping up the Shattered World saga.
Yes.
But it's definitely something that's on my mind. And by the time we finished Shattered World and the plans we have set up after that, I think I'd have a better idea on what Sega of Japan would let us do with Styx.
Okay. I was just curious. I was just wondering.
And there's your answer.
Yes, thank you. And I think that's going to wrap up the Q&A. Go ahead, Ian.
And the show's run a bit longer than we initially thought. So let's do our end of show shout-outs and call it a day. Day, night, he said, tripping over his own words.
A day, night, day. Whatever time it is where you are while you are listening to this.
Possibly middle day, afternoon, dusk, dawn, who knows.
Midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
Alrighty, so if you're looking for anything about me, you can find it on www.bumbleking.com. That's Bumble like the bee, King like the reigning monarch. You can also follow me on Twitter at IanFlynnBKC. Currently have a Patreon going on right now called Raiders of the Abyss. You donate, you get to decide how the science fiction story progresses. That's at patreon.com/IanFlynnBKC. Kyle, your turn.
You can find me on the tweeters at KyleJCRB. And be sure to use the hashtag BumbleCast if you're asking any questions you want for the show via Twitter. Otherwise, you can ask them at the forums on the at BumbleKing.com, or you can throw them on the YouTube comments. Now, do we want to take YouTube comments from each video? I guess we could do that, and might get a little unwieldy after a while, but, you know, starting out should be fine.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
And one last thing, tell us the name and the place where we can find the composer of the wonderful soundtrack that we have.
You can find Coda, who's the original composer of the theme to the BumbleCast. You can find his music over at bc.s3m.us. And he's got a lot of awesome albums over there. He's a great chiptune composer, so definitely go check him out and check out his albums. Some of them are available for Pay What You Want. He's got an EP called Tracer that I really recommend that is available for the low, low price of whatever you like, from free to $1 million. So if you have $1 million burning a hole in your pocket, you can go give it to him.
Or us. We wouldn't mind. We'll share it with him, we promise.
We will, we will. Also, you can find more of me and what I do, my lovely other podcasts that I do, over at kngi.org, where you can also find this podcast. You can find me over there doing Game Fuel, a show focusing on video game music remixes and rearrangements. So if you enjoy video games and the music contained therein, definitely go check that out. Also got a whole bunch of other shows that focus on VGM and VGM-inspired original works. So definitely head on over there, if you're not there already listening to this right now. And I think that's it, Ian, unless you got anything else you wanted to throw in here.
No, I think that's good for Bumblecast number one here on good old October 5th, 2015. We will see you again on October 19th for Bumble... Kyle, when will they come? What will they see on the 19th?
They will see Bumblecast episode 2!
Thank you. Good night, everybody!
Thank you for listening to the Bumblecast. Please subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review on iTunes. Find more episodes at BumbleKing.com and KNGI.org. Bumblecast is copyright Bumbleking Comics. Original music composed by Ken Coda Snyder, used with permission. Find more music from Coda at bc.s3n.us. Pay what you want for the intro theme as part of the compilation album Noise Chan and Nugget Adventures in Chiptune at noisechanradio.bandcamp.com.